Yes, good people, this is Lou from the BX, host of the Everything Podcast, and you are now tuned in to the Delvin Cox Experience, hosted by the man himself, Delvin Cox. Miami podcasting at its finest.
Cause I'm eclectic. The way I do it, I earn my respect, bitch. My partner heard it and said you up next, bitch. Nah, I ain't a psychic, but I said I could've guessed it. And not to mention, boy, I've been living reckless. Down in the trenches, I've been so invested. That's why I gotta keep a motherfucking weapon.
Welcome to the Delvin Cox Experience, the podcast in which each week I am on a one-man mission to unite our culture through diversity. I'm your host, Delvin Cox. This week on the podcast, I have a special guest. An artist, man who makes dope music, Mr. J.D. Beatty. How you doing, brother?
I'm good, brother. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good, man. Doing really good. And as always, we like to start the podcast off with the 5 for 5. 5 questions, 5 answers to get the ball rolling. J.D., are you ready?
I'm absolutely ready.
Okay.
Waiting.
Question number one. I think this is apropos for the day it is. What's your favorite Prince song? Because today, we're recording this on Prince's birthday, so...
My favorite Prince song. I know it's a basic selection, but I gotta say Purple Rain, that's the one that turned me on to Prince for real.
Okay.
And you know what I'm saying? That guitar solo goes crazy for me. And,
oh yeah. That is fire. Yeah. That's fire.
Yeah, yeah. You know what I mean? I love that. But I mean, yeah. It's gotta be Purple Rain.
Yeah. I like Purple Rain a lot too. I remember I was not tell my age, but I remember when I was a kid listening to that album, and I want to say the movie, watching the movie. I can't remember the name of the movie right now. But yeah, Prince is dope. All right. Question.
Yeah, I didn't even realize it was his birthday today.
Yeah. I just happened to see it earlier there. I'm like, oh, that's pretty cool. Today's Prince's birthday.
Yeah. Man, that's pretty cool. If I would have known that, I would have looked up more information on you, so I came prepared.
No problem, buddy.
Right. Yeah, I mean.
Question number 2. Give me your top 5 favorite artists. In no particular order, by the
top
way.
Top five favorite artists. I see. That question right there, you know, as an artist, I ask that one to all my friends a lot. We always discuss it a lot. So for mine, it fluctuates quite often. Yes. Are you talking about general artists or just like top 5 rappers?
I would say general artists.
General artists? Oh, damn. Now you done made it even more difficult.
Okay, let's make it easy. Let's go rappers because general artists,
We'll do both of them because I listen to a lot of music and you know what I mean? It's good to have a diverse selection. That's how I came up with the whole eclectic thing. But, My top 5 rappers currently, I just said to my homie, you got to be Young M.A., Mia Fontaine, J. Cole, Montana 300, and I forget who the 5th one was that I said. But for them four, Young M.A. is highly underrated, in my opinion.
I like that your choices are so diverse and so different, and they're not the normal choices that people would pick. Because you know, people usually say like Drake, Kendrick, J. Cole.
Yeah.
I like your choices.
You know what I mean? Well, thank you. I mean, I got J. Cole in there, but that's because like he's like the artist who I look to as inspiration and like the type of artist that I want to be. You know what I'm saying? He's always keeping it real. He don't feel the need to rap about violence all the time and guns and whatnot. But he's also like just low key and he don't really care. You know what I'm saying? He said, from here on out, my hair grows out. I like that. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. He don't care about what people thinking. He just being himself and he just living his life. That's why, you know what I'm saying? So that's why he's in my top 5. Young and May, she's just highly underrated. Her flows go crazy. Mir Fontaine, he's a very unknown artist from New Jersey. I mean, he's not very unknown. He's pretty known, but like he's not as known as I feel like he needs to be known. You know what I'm saying?
That makes sense.
And then, what was that? J. Cole, Young M.A., Montana 300. Montana 300 got the craziest bars. You know what I'm saying? Absolutely. And then for the fifth one, damn, who was the fifth one that I said? I don't know. I'm going to think about that one.
Okay.
Let's just say, Jay-Z.
Jay-Z? Okay.
I say Jay-Z.
He's a good placeholder. You know, he's a good placeholder, you know. Yeah, you can never go wrong with Jay.
And he's one of them ones that he's just so successful. He's undeniable. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? But then my top five artists, have you ever heard of the singer JMSN?
No, I have not. You got about to send me some of that music, man.
I gotta send you him. He's one of my favorite singers. I really like Tame Impala.
Okay.
He's pretty cool. I've been listening to a lot of him.
These choices, by the way. I like when people give me stuff that I can like, okay, I gotta go listen to some of that stuff and go find out about it. Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, I spend a lot of time listening to like all types of different music. Like I really just, a lot of times I'll be feeling like, dang, I wish I could play some instruments more. But you know what I'm saying? I'm not well versed in instruments. So that's why I try and make my voice and my flows my instrument when I'm rapping.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
And I like, yeah, so I just appreciate the music. I love the music, you know what I'm saying? All types of music. Even if it's like music that I wouldn't normally listen to, I could still get jiggy with it. You know?
I feel you. My a buddy of mine, we're doing a podcast on my Patreon together. It's called Unshuffle. And the whole concept of it is he brings me albums that he think I should have heard that I've never heard before. Like a good example is My Chemical Romance. I never heard any of My Chemical Romance stuff before. And he brought it on like this past episode, and I love it. It was great. It's always cool to get stuff that you don't expect to be good. And, like you're pleasantly surprised by it. Like, yeah, this is dope.
Yeah. I'm going to have to check that. You're going to have to send me that podcast. That sounds like something I would definitely enjoy listening to.
Yeah, I got you.
That's a good way to find new music. I hate people who don't want to listen to new music or just want to listen to the same type of music. Like, you ever hang out with somebody who all they want to listen to is just trap?
I have. I am fortunate that my kids, because of the dad, because like me being with my kids, I'm very diverse with my music. So when they were growing up, they used to listen to stuff like Michael Jackson, the Jackson 5, Stevie Wonder, Gladys Knight. Then they used to listen to stuff like, then they used to listen to like hip hop, like Dre, Snoop, Nas. So now that they're older, and also used to listen to a lot of 80s music. So now that they're older, their taste is very diverse and stuff like that. So a lot of times they're bringing me music, say, "Dad, you might like this." I'm like, "Okay, cool." Like, I think it's really cool that they're not just into hip hop. Like, it's a rare moment in time where I get in the car with them and they're playing hip hop. Like, okay, I like that.
That's dope.
Into music that much. Yeah.
Yeah. I like Anderson .Paak a lot. I don't know how many artists I done listed off, but
you listed five hip hop artists and you listed three artists in general. So I give you two more artists in general. Yes.
Two more artists. All right. Michael Jackson,
that's a given. Yeah.
Yeah, Michael Jackson. And
Prince?
Rage Against the Machine.
Oh, Rage Against the Machine. Okay.
Yeah, Rage Against the Machine. The Rage Against the Machine is one of them artists that was a branch out for me that like taught me to start listening to different type of music. Cause after I heard Bulls on Parade and started working out to that, I was like, I like this. And then I started listening to some Linkin Park and whatnot. And then I started getting into all types of different rock music. And that's how I can now like enjoy like even a couple of heavy metal songs I can enjoy now. You know what I'm saying? Because of how like just hearing a certain artist.
Yeah, I like that.
Appreciate that genre. You know what I mean? So I say that.
I feel you on that. All right. Question number three. Right. What is the dumbest thing you ever done as a kid? And don't say anything that's going to get us arrested. I don't want to go to jail. I say that now because one time, a while back on the podcast, I asked that question to somebody, and they just started like saying felonies. I'm like, yo, what are you doing? Like,
yo, relax.
Like, yo, we can't be like, you can't be doing that, man. We're going to get both of us in trouble.
I remember one time we had to go kidnap this dude.
I'm like, no, we can't do that, fam. We can't do that on there.
Okay, so the dumbest thing I did as a kid. Okay, so I used to have this crush on this girl who had moved away from my school, and she lived like 2 hours away, and I had to try and talk to her for a while, and she finally was like, she wanted me to come over, and you know what I'm saying? So I was like,
okay,
I gotta make it over there to go visit her. But it's a 2-hour drive, and you know what I mean? I don't have a car. I'm like 16.
Oh, so, that's a problem.
Yeah. So what I do was I hit up all my friends. I'm like, yo, y'all want to hang out? So I ended up sneaking out my house and taking my parents' car and going and rounding up all my friends to take a road trip. And then we drive on and take this road trip, and the whole time we're smoking. just turning up in the car, you know what I'm saying? I get there, my friends wait for me in the car for a little bit, and then we leave and we go and we're getting ready to drive back to the house. And, like, I'm gonna go drop everybody off. And while we're driving, this is terrible because I feel like if my parents listen to this podcast, they're gonna. So we're driving back, and because they didn't know that my dad, I never told my dad that my friends was with me. But when we're driving back, my phone starts to ring, and it says, it pops up, and it says, Pops. I'm like, oh, no. It's like three in the morning.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, no, this is bad. Not only did I take the car, I took the good one, the one that they don't even let me drive. Oh my God. My dad's calling me. I turn the music off. I look at my homies. I'm like, yo, my dad is calling me. My homie looks at me and he says, bro, don't even say that. That's not even funny, bro. Like, because my dad don't play. All my friends were scared of my dad growing up. He don't play. You know what I'm saying? They're like, bro, don't even joke like that. And I'm like, look, bro.
This ain't a joke, bro.
This ain't a joke. This is my ass on the line. They said, oh. I said, should I answer it? They said, you better answer it. I said, oh, man. So I go to answer it, and then my dad, he don't even say nothing. Like, he just answers the phone and says, bring my fucking car home. Yeah! And it hangs up. I'm still an hour and 45 away. I just left. I'm like, oh no. There's no way.
Your dad about to commit a felony.
Yeah, my dad about to commit a felony. I'm like, I still gotta drive an hour and a half back into town, drop all my friends off. And then get home. I'm like, this is, and he didn't even, and then so then like 20 minutes goes by, or like something like that, long enough time for him to realize that I was far away. And he calls me back and he was like, where the hell are you at? And I said, huh? He said, where are you at? And I look, I'm trying to look at like some street signs as I'm passing. I look at my phone. I'm like, I'm in, say some town that's far as hell. And he goes, oh my! He's like, boy, if you don't bring your ass, ooh. I'm like, oh man, this is rough. I end up getting home. I get home, I'm so scared that my dad's about to fold me like his laundry, that I pull the car up to the driveway and then just get out the car, and then like I'm standing behind the car and he's standing in front of the car and he's like, what you want to do? I'm like, I'm going to head out. He was like, that's probably the best thing you can do. And so I left and I went and stayed with my mans for a little while. Oh, man. That was that was probably the dumbest I ever felt, because I was like, when I got that phone call and I looked at the time that I had left to get home, I'm like, all this because I wanted some cheeks.
Yeah. And you didn't logistically plan it out. You didn't think like, man, you know what? It's 11 o'clock. It's going to take me two hours to get there. 2 hours to get back.
I did not logistically plan it out at all. I was caught lagging that day.
Yeah, sure. Woefully underprepared.
Yeah. That was a wild time right there.
All right. You know I like that answer.
But my dad, me and my dad is cool though. He was a tough dad. He was strict, but you know what I'm saying? As far as having a father goes, I wouldn't want no other one. I mean, I feel like, you know what I'm saying, you got a son, so you already know a strong black father is very important nowadays. Oh, yeah, definitely. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'm hard on my son, but my son knows that I go to bat for him all the time, so super important. I'm super dope that you got that relationship with your dad. Definitely.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, question number 4. You can pick any 4 rappers, because you're going to be the 5th one, of course, to be in a cypher with. Who are you picking?
Being a cypher with. Okay. All right. Well, so, like, I would like to say Montana 300, but I don't think I would even want to be in a cypher with him. He's too, his bars would be too crazy for his freestyle. You know what I'm saying? Just off rip. I'm like, man, shoot. I need someone who I'm like, nah, but actually, nah, I would want Montana 300 in there.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? He might, even though he would probably outshine me with the bars, because his ciphers really go crazy. It's okay. It's for the love of the art form. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I want that cipher to be the best one. I would like to have, who's another good spitter?
Some good ones out there.
Yeah, there is a lot of good ones out there. I like to have maybe like Chef G or Sleepy Hollow, one of them on there. You know what I mean? I feel like I never seen them on a cipher, but I feel like they would add a different flavor to it. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
And then the game. I like to have the game.
He gonna take over the whole cipher. He gonna spit for 30 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, a game.
I think he was my top 5 that I was that I was trying to think of earlier. I think he was the one that I was trying to think of.
I like Game a lot. Yeah,
I was like,
Game is dope.
Yeah, you ever listen to the documentary 2 and 2.5? Oh, yeah.
Yes, I have. I have both of those albums. I listen to the documentary 2.5. I listen to, I got so many damn game mixtapes, like 300 bars and running. Those are my stuff, man. That was my era.
The game is that bull. The game is that bull. You know what I mean? I don't know if it's just because I'm on the East Coast or we're on the East Coast, but I don't feel like he be getting the props that he deserves, at least over here. Maybe he probably gets it on the West Side, because, you know, he's like West Coast 50 Cent.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I think it's because he doesn't get the credit he deserves, not because of how he raps, because of the antics he get into, like, you know, the whole...
He does a lot of wild stuff.
Yeah, he's always just some wild stuff that takes away from his
he
music.
He does a lot of wild
Yeah, but his albums are fantastic.
Oh, yeah, you can tell that he loves the art form.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
The Doctor's Advocate is one of my favorite albums.
Which one?
The Doctor's Advocate.
Oh, yeah.
Great album.
Excellent. So, yeah, the game. And how many was that?
That's 3. You need one more, because you're the 5th.
I got one more. Yeah, I'm the 5th. One more. You know, my mind keeps going back to when Kendrick Lamar did his BET cipher.
Yes, that was dope.
That?
I do remember that.
So I think if I could take Kendrick Lamar from that time, have him on it. Yeah,
that's a great idea. Yeah, I like that thinking. Yeah,
that would be my four.
I don't know your age exactly, and I want to call it on the podcast, but do you remember the cipher with Slaughterhouse, the BET cipher? I think it was Slaughterhouse and M, if I remember correctly.
I remember watching it. I don't remember. It's been years since I listened to it. But I remember when I was in high school, I went through a phase where I wanted to like listen to all the ciphers, and there wasn't enough ciphers out there. So I remember listening to it, but yeah. I don't remember much of the bars though.
I remember it because that's when a lot of people found out that Joe Budden can rap. Like that's before he had the podcast and stuff like that. But Joe Budden was on that cipher killing it. And I always remember those Slaughterhouse. I think he was on a cipher by himself too with a couple of people. But yeah, he's clutching those ciphers. I like Joe Budden's bars. He's really good.
Yeah, Joe Budden be getting into it with the young rappers.
Yes, all the time.
he be getting into it with them.
Yeah, definitely.
You know what I mean?
All right, question number five. Zombie apocalypse happens, Walking Dead style. You're going to take five things with you to survive in the world. Anything you want, by the way. Your family and friends don't count. They can come with you if they want to. If you don't want them to come with you, fuck them, let them die. So what are the five things you want to take with you to survive the zombie apocalypse?
Five things. Man, see, now this question right here, this will let you know a lot about a man.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So five things. First and foremost, you're going to need a weapon, right?
Yes.
Now, a lot of people will say they want to take a gun with them, but nah, you're going to need something like a machete, like a nice sharp machete, you know what I'm saying?
I like it.
You're going to need that because then you can chop heads off.
Yes.
Knock brains out, you know what I'm saying? So you're going to need a machete. You're going to need a large backpack.
Yes.
Very large backpack, like so you can... like a rucksack type of deal. So you can put all your stuff in it. You know what I mean? You're going to need that.
I like that.
Probably a compass.
Compass is
good. Working compass. How many things did you say? Five?
Five. So you got two more.
Damn. Compass. A radio for certain. That's like essential always. In all the zombie movies you see, they always gotta have a radio.
Yeah, radio's dope. It's important. One more,
huh?
I like that you said a rucksack, by the way. I think that's brilliant.
Yeah. I feel like too many people just think that they're just going to be able to carry all this stuff with them. You got, you know what I'm saying? If you ain't got nothing to put it in.
It ain't going to matter. Yeah.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So, fifth one, I would want something to, like, clean water. Like some kind of purifier. Something
they
like
have
that.
Those.
Maybe like they have them.
Yeah, they definitely
something
do.
Something like that. Something like that. Or like some kind of like cooking like utensils. You know what I'm saying? Something like that.
So like let's just say a pot then. I think a pot would work perfectly in that situation. Like because a pot, you can use it to boil water so you can purify it. And you can use it to cook with. There you go. That's perfect.
Yeah. You thinking. You know what I'm saying?
Definitely.
And worst come to worst, you smack a zombie upside the head with it.
Exactly. See,
you know what I mean? That right there is a multifaceted tool.
Yes.
I hope I used that word right.
You did. So, brother, let them know about yourself, man, for those who don't know, who haven't heard your music yet. Let them know a little bit about yourself.
All right, man. Well, I'm J.D. Beatty. You know what I'm saying? I come from Pennsylvania, Williamsport, Pennsylvania. It's not that big of a town, but you know, it's got its thing going on with it here. You know what I mean? And I just dropped my first EP called J.D. Beatty Presents the Eclectic Collection. And basically what that is, the Eclectic Collection is just going to be a series that I'm just going to always do, where it's like I'm just taking different sounds and different beats and different inspiration and putting it all into just a project. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't necessarily have a theme, or it doesn't necessarily have, like, you know what I'm saying, a concept to it. It's just a bunch of different beats with different sounding instruments. And then it's just like all music that, you know what I'm saying, I just be wanting to listen to. Cause that's really how I do my music. You know what I'm saying? I don't really make music with the goals or the intentions to be like money. Money isn't the number one thing. You know what I'm saying? It's the love of the music that comes first. So like I said, I listen to so much different music and I love so much different music that I want that to be incorporated into what I'm making. So, you know, that's what that Eclectic Collection is. And this first one is only 5 songs because I'm an unknown artist. I know me personally, when I see the unknown artist that I'm interested in and they drop a tape that's 15, 20 songs, I don't got the time to be listening to all them. You know what I mean? I need to be able to just hear little pieces of it. So right now I'm just putting a little singles and like EPs. I mean, I have a pretty decent catalog. I started making music like probably a year and a half ago. I started taking it seriously about a year and a half ago. And I just been building it up my catalog. So that way when I do release, I can keep stuff coming. So right now I'm already planning on my next project.
So what got you into music? What inspired you to say, you know what, I want to do this music thing? Because, you know, it's not an easy field to get into, you know.
Yeah.
What made you say, you know what, I want to be a rapper, I want to be an entertainer, I want to do this?
Well, I mean, I've been freestyling and like just having fun with it and making like quote unquote bullshit, like shit that I wouldn't take serious for, since I was in early high school times, you know what I mean? And so like I've always loved just freestyling and just rapping and just like listening to music. And so I had joined the military and ended up getting kicked out after like 3 years.
Because you gotta tell that story. What happened? you out here, Randy Orton?
Yeah, so listen, I was in the Air Force, and I was in they stationed me in New Mexico, in Clovis, New Mexico, and that is like, do you ever watch Courage the Cowardly Dog?
Yes, I have.
Imagine that. That's where we was at. Like, oh, that it was flat as far as you can see.
Nothing else.
It was small town tumbleweeds. You know what I mean? And so, like, it was just a very depressing, terrible place to live, quite honestly. And I was like, this ain't it. And so, like, I was out there for a little while, and I ended up. It was like a 3 month. It was like in three months, I had my best friend that I had met in the military. He had accused me of some shit that I didn't do. Like he had tried saying that I was like stealing from him. We were living together. He tried saying that I was stealing from him. And I was like, bro, first of all, we work at the same place. We get paid the same amount and we live together. What am I trying to steal from you? That don't even
where
make
you gonna
sense
go
in your mind.
Where,
yeah,
where, you gonna
where
go?
Am I gonna take it? We live together. You know what I'm saying? Like it don't even make sense. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, but I think it was his girl that he was with, because she had started moving in, and like, you know what I'm saying? It's a whole bunch of, it was just a whole bunch going on with that. So like that was the first thing, right? And then after that, we have to move, because I'm not gonna keep living with you, bro. Like, you know what I'm saying? You talk crazy, We can't be roommates. You know what I'm saying? You know, whatever. So I had to move. I'm losing my crib. I had two dogs at the time. In the process of trying to move, my dogs ended up getting out and running away. So I lost my dog. I'm like, this is fucked. And then I go and I'm already going through it. And the girl that I'm with at the time, she tells me, she's like, you want to come hang out? And I'm like, yeah, I'll come over there and whatnot. She's like, okay. So then she's supposed to come pick me up because I had also, my car had also broke down around this time. This shit is crazy, bro. My car broke. And the way my car broke down was so crazy because I remember I was driving and the power steering went out. Like, I was driving at nighttime, cruising with some friends and just listening to music. And the power steering went out as I was going around the roundabout because I didn't slow down. So I was just like cruising and I was going like 30, and the roundabout speed limit was like 20 or 25. And I had on cruise control. So I was like, it's nobody else was out here at this time. So I'll just go, you know what I'm saying? I can whip it. I ain't worried about it. But when I go to do that, the power steering goes out. And my wheel, my shit locks up. I'm like, what the hell? And I couldn't take it. I couldn't like steer it fast enough. And I hit the curb and I was like, boom, boom. And my wheels was already kind of fucked. So when I hit the curb, it just broke my whole wheel off. And the car fell off to the side. And I'm like, oh my. I'm like, bruh. And then I like stop and I look and I just see my wheel going down the road. And I'm like, this is outrageous.
When it rains, it pours, brother.
So I'm waiting on. So that's why my car was broken down, and I'm waiting on this girl to come pick me up because she just told me that she wanted to hang out. So that I'm waiting for a while, she ain't come. So I call her, and I'm like, "You still coming?" And she's like, "Yeah, my ex just got back from his deployment though, and we're talking about something because she was going through a separation, like a divorce. They were separated, but the divorce wasn't finalized." So I'm like, okay, cool. Well, you know what I'm saying? I'm not a, you know what I'm saying, controlling type. So I'm like, well, you know what I'm saying? We together, so I'm not going to not trust you for no reason. So I was a fool, Delvin. I don't know why I did that. I was it's foolish of me because another like 45 minutes go by and I'm like, this bitch must think I'm stupid. I get in my car and I gotta drive over to her crib and I walk in and they just sitting there fucking, and I'm like, this is outrageous.
Hold on. You have to clarify. How did you get over there? Cause you said you fucked up your car and then you went over there?
Oh yeah, I was over at my homie's crib and I told him the situation and he was like, you wanna go over there? So I was like, yeah, bro, I need to go see, like, I need to, because she ain't, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I got to go see if she really acting out like this. And he's like, here's my keys, bro. He let me use his car. So I go over there. And then, you know what I'm saying? The door is unlocked. I walk in. They just in there getting it busy. I'm like.
Yeah.
And, like, you know what I'm saying? The boy just came back from a deployment, so I ain't really trying to fight him, because when you're on deployments, all you do is work out. And at this time, I got so much other shit going on that I ain't been working out. So I'm like, I just took the L.
Yeah. You've had a wild time in the military, man. Like, just had like a string of bad luck.
I tell you what, bro. When people tell me, like, do you wish you would have stayed in? I'm like, hell no. I was having a bad time, bro.
Yeah.
It's not to say that you can't get in there and, like, have a good time and, like, be successful. And, like, because I feel like if I would have went to any other base, I would have been cool. But all that shit going on, I can't even go to, like, the beach or nothing and just, like, you know what I'm saying, sit down and just, like, think in sadness. So then after all that happened, I was like, forget this. I'm about to start smoking again. So I started smoking weed. Next thing I know, they piss test me. Yeah. My commander was like, you can try and go through these processes to stay in if you want to. I was like, It's not even worth it, my boy. Just go ahead and boot me.
It just seemed like you just had like you broke a glass mirror or something like that. It just had.
Yeah, for real. I was like, this is outrageous, dog. You know what I mean?
It reminds me of my boy, my friend who, I think he was in the Army. His name is Al. He was on this podcast for it. He had a period of time in his life where just everything bad was happening while he was in the military. And he would message me and like, yo, what is going on? And it was so crazy. Like, he'd be like, I think one time he asked me for some money. I'm like, get the fuck out of here. That's not happening. Comes find out. He was like, whatever bad happened to him was 100% what happened. It was shit so wild that was happening to him and so bad. If you wouldn't have saw it yourself, you would not have believed it.
Yeah, you would be like, ain't no way, bro. But you're witnessing him go through these problems.
Yeah, exactly. Like, so wild. So you got out the military. Is that when you say I'm going to do this music shit seriously?
Yeah, so I got out the military. And at that time, when I got out the military, I was really just like freestyling was how I would like cope. I was just like sitting in my car, listening to some beats and just freestyle. And I was just like vent. You know what I'm saying? I just talk my shit. And like, I remember it was a couple of times too many people was telling me like, yo, you need to make some songs, bro. Like, you know what I'm saying? You gotta do something with that. So I'm like, all right. So then I decided I'm gonna start, you know what I'm saying, making some. So then I start like writing some songs and whatnot. But at this time I'm like, cause once I got kicked out of the military, I was like, I was kind of messed up. I ain't had no money in my pocket. So I started like doing, like getting into the streets and whatnot. And so like, you know, I was just doing a bunch of bad stuff. Hustling. And I was like moving all around. Yeah, hustling. You know what I mean? But see, the thing is, if I'm being quite honest with you, I would not survive if I stayed in the streets. Right? I'm too much of a happy-go-lucky, joking type. I like superheroes. You know what I'm saying? Oh. The show that I'm watching right now is Young Justice. It's a whole cartoon, and that's what I'm really into. I be getting hyped up with like, so like
what,
the street.
What season
life,
you're on Young Justice? Since you mentioned it.
Oh, I just started. I'm still on season one.
Oh, you wait till you get to the further season. That's a great series.
Which one?
Wait till you get season. Yeah, further season, like season three, season four, great. It gets really good.
Oh, man, I'm enjoying season one. So like,
yeah,
you know what I'm saying? I'm already imagining.
But yeah, I feel what you say about that. Like, as the person this is when I was way younger. Like, I grew up in the hood. I grew up in Miami, and in Miami, you got like, you know, I grew up in Liberty City. That's a straight up hood. The streets. Yeah. You learn real fast. Either you got to be a hustler or you'll get hustled. So, me being that kid when I was a kid, I learned real quickly. I didn't want to be a hustler and I didn't want to hustle. because I see where those paths went at. Like, you know, it's kind of hard to be like, hey, I want to be on this corner, but at the same time, I want to watch Dragon Ball Z.
for real, you know what I'm saying? And like, what was you saying?
I would make a terrible drug dealer. I ain't gonna front. Like, nah, I don't want to do this. I don't want to sit on this corner all day. This shit's
hot.
You
know what I mean? It's crazy.
Yeah, I can't do it.
Like, and I got family who is like really into it. I try not to specify for their sake, but you know, I got family.
I will say it for my family because the ones who did the crimes are gone now. But I grew up in a family of cops and street dudes. Mm-hmm. So like half of my brother's a cop. Yeah. My brother's been a cop for like 20 years now. But my uncles, I had uncles who are big time drug dealers, cousins who are drug dealers and things like that. So I've kind of seen both sides of it. It was like, I don't like either one of those sides.
Yeah. That's how it is for me. Cause I got family who big time drug dealers, and then they got locked up for a while. And when they went into the prison system, they see my uncle.
Exactly.
And seeing him working there. And they're like, oh, but they couldn't act like they knew each other. They had to act like they didn't know each other at all. But like, you know what I'm saying? So it was like literally both sides. Like, he's in prison and he's working in the prison. You know what I'm saying? And so, like, but, like, I tell them, like, yo, like, not everybody can do that. It's because you have to just be ready to talk to anybody at any time. Like, I mean, for me personally, bro, I have terrible communication, and I just don't like talking to people that much. You know what I'm saying? So, like,
surprisingly,
I don't want people hitting me up for their products.
Surprisingly, and it's crazy for a person who does a podcast. I am very similar that way. Like when I am off the podcast, and if I don't know you, I don't want to talk to people most of the time. Like, I don't feel like talking. Like, just want to sit there and relax. Like,
it's hard. It's hard for me to try and network. You know what I'm saying? Like, I be on Twitter, like, kind of like talking to people. But see, with you, it was pretty easy because you were on Who Would Win a couple times. And
yes,
at my job, my job a little while ago that I used to work at, I could have my headphones in, and like, so I, after a while, but like it was all day because it was a warehouse shipping, and so all day I'd have my headphones in and doing my thing as I'm like picking stuff and whatnot. And after a while, bro, I'm like, I don't really want to listen to music. I want to listen to, like, you know what I'm saying, something else other than the music that I've been listening to. You know what I'm saying? 10 hours of music nonstop. So then I started listening to podcasts, but I wanted to find some shit that would interest me, and I found Who Would Win. And then I was like, I really enjoy this, and I like the people and the chemistry. And then I heard you on it, and you talked about your podcast, and then I started listening to your podcast, and I was like, this is pretty interesting. So, like, with networking with you and I, it was literally just like talking on Twitter, like, you know what I'm saying, little stuff here and there, and it was really cool with it, you know what I'm saying? So, like, I just hope that that's how networking can go for me for everything else.
that's exactly how you do it, brother. That's, you just kind of, like, find, like, that's how I got to know a lot of people in podcasts and stuff like that. People see my followers and like, oh, he must be famous. No, it's not that I'm famous or nothing like that. It's just that when I do a podcast, and two, I've always been open enough to talk to any and everybody and have conversations with them, and we end up following each other, becoming cool. I think that's kind of networking. Like, hey, I'm just the guy who does a podcast. People like the podcast, and I just interview people who are cool. I interview people who I want to interview, and I think I always thought you were an interesting, cool dude, and then when we had the conversation about your music, like, oh, you can definitely come on the podcast, talk about your music, man. I like hip hop, so why would I not want to talk about music? I'm always open to have a conversation about music and stuff like that. I think your music's good. I think it's good. I think it's, your story is interesting so far from what I'm hearing. Like, yo, this is dope. You're a cool brother.
Yeah, man. I try and just keep it honest, bro. Genuineness is really, really what I try and be. Genuine. I don't think genuineness is a word, but genuine and just being true to myself, you know what I'm saying? Like, I was in the streets for a little while, but like, I already know that ain't for me. I got family who be in the streets, you know what I'm saying? But like, at the end of the day, like, I just am making music for me and the people that I'm around. Like, I like my friends, my best friend's wife is one of my biggest fans and supporters. She plays my music all the time. I send them my tracks that I like when I get out the studio. I send them my tracks like, yo, listen to this. This jump crazy. I was just going crazy in the studio. And she'll like listen to them all the time. And then like when we're hanging out, if she's on the aux cord, she'll be like, let's listen to some JD Beatty. And I just like, you know what I'm saying? It's just that when you're real and you're just who you are, the love that you receive is natural, and so it's true. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just feel like, you know, that's how I want all my music and all my fans to be. You know what I'm saying? I don't want no one feeling like they had to portray themselves to be super gangster, or, you know what I'm saying? Like, if you listening to my music and you in the streets, you can be in the streets listening to my music. If you just want to listen to my music after, like you said, watching the episode of Dragon Ball Z, do that, because I've seen so much going on, and then been a witness to so much and been involved in so much that my perspective is vast, you know?
Let me ask you a question, because you're in Pennsylvania, right?
Yeah.
What is the music scene like there. Because I don't know if I've heard too much about Pennsylvania's music scene. I don't know if I'm hip on it. So what is it like down there?
I think for me personally, the two biggest artists that came out of Pennsylvania would probably be Meek Mill and Lil Uzi. So like, okay. You know, Meek Mill is one of my favorites.
I like
because
Meek.
I mean he gets yeah. I mean some people don't like him because they say that he be yelling a lot, but he doesn't yell as much as he used to. But when you listen to his old stuff, he do be yelling a lot.
Yes.
My boy be out here yelling at you, making you feel like, you know what I'm saying? Like, damn, bro, what, did I make you mad or something?
So that's the kind of era you guys in, that Meek Mill era? I know people think, I guess, Pennsylvania, that makes sense, yeah. Because when I think of Meek, I think of Will. When I think of like Meek, I think of Philly almost.
Yeah. Yeah, because that's his city. You know what I'm saying? Me and Lil Uzi. That's both of them are from Philly. We don't honestly. There's not as many artists to come out of Pennsylvania that have been super big. That I mean, who else? Wiz Khalifa claims Pennsylvania because he claims like Pittsburgh and whatnot. But like his family was in the. I want to say the Air Force, and he was actually born in like North Dakota, but he moved to Pittsburgh at a young age and just always like claimed Pittsburgh as his
makes sense to me though. That makes sense. I feel like you're allowed to claim the place you grew up in. Like if you were born in like China, but you grew up in the United States, I say okay, you grew. For the United States.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah, you know what I'm saying? United States. I was upset when I found out about it, though, because I was like, damn it. I wanted him to be born. Even though, like, you know what I'm saying? I agree with him. He's a Pittsburgh dude because he, you know what I'm saying? He grew up here and whatnot. But, like, you know what I'm saying? It's just, damn it, be born and raised.
So let me ask you, what artists inspire you knowing that, like,
what you mean? Like which
artist?
Pennsylvania like, or in yeah, general?
In general, like when you were growing up, you listen to hip hop. Who were the artists that were inspiring you? Like, yeah, I want to be like this dude.
Oh man. Okay, so I already told you how like J. Cole is one of those ones who like is just very. I mean, listen, J. Cole is a light skinned dude. I'm a light skinned dude.
Yes,
J. Cole. J. Cole was around stuff but didn't want to be in it. I was around stuff but didn't want to be in it.
Gotcha.
J. Cole has an emphasis on education. Now, I ain't go to college, but I feel like if everybody should educate themselves on things that they're interested in. You know what I'm saying? Education. I mean, I'm not necessarily a school dude. I never liked school, but like, you know, I always liked learning. I didn't like school because I feel like they don't be teaching you the right stuff, but I like learning about stuff when I feel like it's important or it pertains to something that I'm involved in.
You like the pursuit of knowledge, but not necessarily the pursuit of knowledge in the school. But I agree with that.
Yeah.
I think that makes sense.
Well, because like I remember when I was in school, they had me in the one math class and we had a whole like half a semester where we learned about imaginary numbers, the square root of -1, I, like that was the thing. It was I, the square root of -1. Like, what the hell am I learning about this, bro? I don't.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
I don't know how to do my fucking taxes, and y'all got me learning the square root of -1.
I think that's a valid complaint that a lot of people have about how. When we go to school, they teach us things that we will probably never use again. But yet again, there are some people who don't know how to do taxes or write a checkbook and simple things like that we don't learn that we probably should be learning in school.
Exactly. You know what I mean? But aside from J. Cole, though, that was my inspiration. 50 Cent was an inspiration.
That was an era. That G-Unit era. That was a good era of rap, man. I used to love G-Unit.
The song that really, really, I think one of the songs that really did it for me was with 50 Cent was he was on Eminem's, I think it was, I want to say it was like Relapse. It's the album where his face, it's just his head, but it's like, it looks like a bunch of pieces are making up his face. You know what I mean? And I'm pretty sure, I think the song is called Psycho. Honestly, that song might not even be on the album because when I was listening to it, I was illegally downloading my stuff. You remember LimeWire?
Oh yes, I do.
And I was using LimeWire and whatnot at the time, and but the song was Psycho, and I'm pretty sure it was called Psycho, and 50 Cent was in it, and I just remember listening to it, thinking like 50 Cent just be like, he just be doing different stuff, like he just. His music was a little the fact that he was on that song with Eminem just was a little different.
Yeah,
like I was like that's cool. I like that. You know what I'm saying? And 50 Cent, I like him because he's also made like a whole cinematic universe for drug dealers.
Yes, crazy. That is true. Okay, the I'm looking up the song right now. The song is on what 50 Cent? It's on a 50 Cent album. I'm trying to find out which album it is. I see it. It's actually on an album. I don't know which album is this. I think this is Until I Self-Destruct.
Until I Self-Destruct?
I think it's on this album, but yes. Psycho is 100% on there.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that John, I remember listening to that and just thinking, that's a different sound right there. And then he had another song, Heartbeat.
That's a great song.
With... You know that song? Yeah, that John. That shit was crazy to me.
I'm going to give you a good 50 Cent song to look up.
Okay.
It's an older one. It's G-Unit. It's called I'm a Soldier. You know, the Eminem song that's on the Eminem show? I'm a Soldier, but it's the G-Unit remix. So instead of having M on it, M just does the chorus, and it's G-Unit rapping. It was on a 50 Cent mixtape. It's so dope. It is really good.
Is it called?
I'm just gonna
screenshot the search that way.
You're probably gonna have to find it on YouTube because it was on a mixtape.
Yeah, because I just thought about it because it was a remix. So I just screenshotted the search so that way I'll be able to look it up later. You know what I mean? Because I definitely want to check that joint out.
Yeah, it's a dope joint.
I'm upset that the Game and 50 Cent separated.
Yeah.
Like, I wish that they would... I would like them to get back together and make, like, a collab tape.
That would be dope.
That would be dope. You know what I mean? Like, see, this is the problem that I have with the rap industry, man. They don't do enough fan service.
Yeah.
Marvel is starting to do it with like, their shows and their movies and whatnot. You know what I'm saying? But, like, the rap game needs to start doing fan service. J. Cole and Kendrick Lamar teased us years ago with a fucking collab tape and never dropped that shit. I waited freaking years for this shit. And but I can't even be mad at it because J. Cole said at the end of it, it was the Black Friday joint. You ever listen to that Black Friday with J. Cole and Kendrick?
Yes.
That's a good joint. And at the very end of it, J. Cole says, when you and K-Dot go and drop, bitch never, they can't handle two blunt niggas this clever. So like, I can't be that mad at it because he said, bitch never. He let us know. But like, man.
I agree with you.
Give us what we want.
I agree with you.
Just give us what we want. Yo, speaking of J. Cole and Kendrick, did you listen to Kendrick's new album?
Yes. It's really good.
What did you think of it?
It's fascinating. I don't know how. I talked about it, like I said, on my Patreon, because I talked about it with my son, because he's a big Kendrick fan and things like that. His album, to me, is art. I don't know if I can like rate it like other albums, because there's so many things that touch on so many different emotions and so many different things that Black people have to deal with and a Black man has to deal with. It's hard to listen to at times. But I think it's meant to be like that. And I think that's a true form of art. When you can look at something like it's, you can't really grade it. It's like, I don't know how to feel about it.
It's what I'm saying. It's a different, I was talking about it with my homie and I was like, it's a different type of music. Cause like I can appreciate it, but like, as far as looking at it musically and as like, if I want to like as something, cause I feel like it's almost as if Kendrick has created a new subgenre of hip hop where it's like, this isn't necessarily something that you want to listen to, but it's something that can educate and inspire. You know what I'm saying? So I was discussing it with my homie and I was like, I don't really know how I feel about it because I feel like, I don't know. It just wasn't what I really, after 5 years of waiting, I wanted Kung Fu Kenny to snap.
Yeah.
And I feel like a lot of it was more mellow tone.
It was different. It was real. It was real life, reality based. And at some points, just like reality, it was uncomfortable. Like there was moments in the album, I'm like, ugh, I don't know if I can listen to this song again. This is really uncomfortable here. like I can't remember the name of the song, but them arguing over the track and stuff like that.
We Cry Together.
We Cry Together. Yes, there you go. So it's like, oh, I don't know if I can hear this song again, but it's fascinating and it's creative.
I've listened to that song a couple of times. That was one of the ones that I've listened to more than once just because her performance on that is just so like, it reminded me a lot of You from, what was that, To Pimp a Butterfly?
Yes.
That track where he was drunk and talking about suicide.
Yeah.
It reminded me a lot of that song because it was just so raw and like just like, you know what I mean?
I get it.
Like, and I was like, I listened to it a couple times because I was like, damn. Like her performance on that joint was crazy. I was like, I really enjoyed. I felt like I was really listening to a damn domestic argument. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think that was the point of it. Just so uncomfortable conversation that you just happen to be in on.
Yeah, man, it's just crazy.
So let's talk about your album a little bit.
Yeah.
What was the process like making your album, man? Like, how did you get the beats? What made you like even go make the songs and stuff like that?
So, honestly, dog, I didn't even go into it with like an album in mind. I just went into it with like the idea that I didn't want, the number one thing I don't want my music to be is repetitive and sounding the same. Like I don't. See, now that I'm trying to make music, it makes it very difficult to comment on other artists. But like, for instance, DaBaby, I like DaBaby a lot, but one of his biggest criticisms from people is that he doesn't switch his flow up and that
he makes the same song
and everything. Yeah, everything sounds the same, and that's one of the biggest things that I do not want is for people to say that all my shit sounds the same. So with the Eclectic Collection, I was, it was literally just, of all this time of me making music, I just was picking songs that I thought would sound different. Like I'm talking about, like, I would try and pick songs, like, I go on, like, so the way that I find my beats is I go on YouTube and just look up a type of beat. You know what I'm saying? And then I find it and I find one that I like. And then even if I don't make a song of it, but I like it, I'll go to like that engineer or that producer's page and like scroll through their stuff or go to the website and like look through their stuff. And then, you know what I'm saying, go from there. And so like I would try and find the beats that sounded like they would never be on the same project and put them all into one. That way, like when you're listening to the album, if you're like, I don't like this, and you skip it, the next song isn't going to be something that is on the same type of time. You know what I'm saying? It's not going to be like you're listening to a slow song and you skip it and it's another slow song. Now, on the Eclectic Collection, it's only 5 songs. So I wanted to have it kind of have like an arc. So it starts off the first one, Just What It Is. That's just like bars. Like, I wanted to have a song that was just bars. Just like, as soon as you listen to it, the first line is a bar. So like the first line, open it, this beat is water and I'm walking, but don't call me Jesus. I ain't walking on water. I'm not no God, but you know what I'm saying? This beat, you get it. It's a bar.
I like it.
That's how I wanted the first one to come out. You know what I'm saying? And I have that first track. It's like a dun, 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 like a very, you know what I'm saying, bass heavy, you know what I'm saying? Something for me to like get my bars across on. So that way people know that I'm not just like making flowy, sing-songy music. I can spit too. And then the next one is Real Friends. And that one, it went from that hype intro straight down to a very serious, like heartfelt song where like I was talking about like friends who have just did me wrong for no reason. You know what I'm saying? Like people who just, you know what I'm saying? That one was heavily influenced by that time that I was telling you about when I was in the military. Yes. And like everything was going wrong. Like all this pain I've been going, and then I started like getting into the street. Either the system or in the streets, you pick and choose. You know what I'm saying? I'm either in the Air Force or I'm in the streets, or if I get caught up in the streets, I'm in jail. It's either the system or the streets. You know what I'm saying? So that's like how that one was. And then from there, it went to Addicted, which is, I just wanted that one to be like, I wanted a real heavy auto-tune sound. Like something that was like, something kind of like some Young Thug type, or like some fucking, just something that was like real heavy auto-tune, but like was just like a little different. So I tried to put a lot of inflections on my voice and whatnot on that one. And then from there, I went to Toot It Up, which was just like and each one of these are getting more progressively like hyped up, you know what I'm saying? Like more tempo, more energy in them, you know what I'm saying? So then I went to Toot It Up, which was like, I wanted that to just be like a party song. Like, bitch, I'm Toot It Up. You know what I mean? Something that you can just get turned up feeling to, you know what I'm saying? And then after that one, it goes into the Eclectic song, which was actually the first song that I ever recorded when I decided that I was going to take music serious. Like I had just been writing a bunch of music, and then I had like four or five songs finished that I didn't record, but they were just written and they were just ready to be recorded. And I had came home to Pennsylvania, and I was in Harrisburg, and I went to the Pro Sound Studios with my brother and a bunch of my cousins and whatnot. And I go in there and I start making this song. And at first, like it was nerve wracking. You know what I'm saying? It's the first time being in the studio. I'm like, oh shit, man. And there's all these people in there. So I'm like, I'm trying to do my thing. My brother comes in with like the blunt and he's like, you a rapper now, nigga. Do your shit. Yeah. Like, I grab the blunt. I'm like, let me hit that 1947 real quick. Take a swig of that. Passing it. I'm like, all right, bro, let's get this shit. And you know what I'm saying? They drop the beat. I'm like, I'm eclectic. The way I do it, I'm my respect, bitch. And you know what I'm saying? From there, I just started doing that song. And then like when I was doing it, my brother, I could see him like it was a big window right there in the front. So you could see everybody else and the engineer who was like in the studio and whatnot. And I just see them in there getting hyped up. And they're like, oh shit, oh shit. And then at one point I said, when the beat does the whole switch up and everything, I said, I was in the military, so you know I won't miss. And my brother went nuts. He was like, he just said he was in the military. Oh! I'm like, hell yeah. You know what I'm saying? So I did my shit. And then I get out. I got the studio. And after making that song and whatnot, and I'm talking to my brother, and he's like, you know what I'm saying, really telling me, like, yo, you gotta take this shit serious, bro. If you gonna do this, bro, you gotta take it serious. You gotta, like, you know what I mean? This is what you wanna do. This is what you wanna do. You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, bro, if my family supporting and co-signing And then he had sent it to my dad, and my dad, my whole life growing up, only listened to like gospel music and shit. Because like after I was born, my mom and my dad told me that they like changed their lives. Like they like, well, not like after I was born, after they got together, probably, I think is what it really was. Cause I was born a year later, but after they got together, they started to like become who they are now as
deeply religious,
grown, mature adults. Yeah. Yeah. Became more religious and whatnot. And we was going to church and whatnot. So my dad, my whole life growing up, only listened to like gospel and like old school jams. You know, so he didn't like, I had to find the hip hop and shit myself.
Anita Baker.
You know what I mean?
Shirley Caesar, yeah. Stuff like that he was probably listening to.
Shirley Caesar, oh my goodness. Devil, yes. Cox, you the man. You are truly a cultured individual.
Thank you, brother. Saying?
Shirley Caesar is the truth.
Yes.
Boy, let me tell you. I'm saying, man. Everybody else is snoring from the greens, beans, tomatoes. You know what I'm saying? But my dad only ever listened to gospel and whatnot. And so after I did that song, my brother Marcus sent it to him. And my dad, I remember like it was like a day or two later, I'm just chilling, I'm listening to my song, and I'm like, it's trying to bump on bottom today. And my dad calls me up and he's like, as soon as I answer the phone, I'm like, hello. He's like, Josiah, that song you did. So I was like, telling me, you gotta send it to somebody. You gotta listen, we gotta do this, we gotta do that. I'm like, that's the music industry is a little different, right? We gotta calculate how we go about this. But you know what I'm saying, after I realized that I had the support from them and my family and everything, then I was like, yeah, I gotta start taking it serious. And then like ever since then, like every step forward that I take, I have more people telling me that I need to keep taking it forward. Now I also have some people that, you know what I'm saying, give you backhanded compliments and tell you that, you know what I'm saying, you should do this or that. But at the end of the day, like, I just take in what I want to take in. If it's positivity, I'm taking it in. If it's constructive, I'm taking it in. But negativity, fuck out of here. I ain't got time for that.
Yeah, I think that's the perfect way to end this, man. Keep doing your thing, brother. I'm rooting for you. Thank you for coming on, man.
Hell yeah, man.
This has been a blast.
Listen, I hope you have me on another time. Next time when I drop my next album, you're going to have me on again.
I was going to say, you're welcome back on this podcast anytime, brother. You don't even have to have an album to promote, brother. You just welcome back on.
Man, don't tell me that, because I'm going to be trying to hop on your podcast all the time, bro.
No problem, brother. This has been a blast, you know, man. Final question for you.
Yes, sir.
If somebody who's listening to this album, they got one shot, they got to pick one song, what's the song they should go to?
Ooh. Ooh.
Because you know, sometimes all it takes. Sometimes it's that one song that people go to and make them want to listen to the whole album. So what's the song they got to go to?
Tell you like this, man. If you want something that's just gonna, if you want to hear a song, and you're like, I don't think this dude's gonna have bars, listen to Just What It Is. If you want to hear a song that you're like, you've had fake friends, but you know who your real friends are, and those, and you cherish them, you gotta listen to track 2, Real Friends. If you want something that just sounds real cool, my personal favorite right now is track 3, Addicted. That one, I talk a lot. Next time I hop on the podcast, I might have to tell you more about it, but I talk a lot about like my experiences with hallucinogenics.
Oh, we definitely got to do that episode.
that's what that song was about, was like hallucinogenics, and it was also tied into like my time in the street life and everything. And that's what that song was about. So, you know what I'm saying? But I don't know. I mean, shit. The album's only 15 minutes long completely. You can listen to that shit on your way to work.
That's a good point. You know? I like that answer. All right, man.
You know what I mean?
Definitely.
But yeah, man.
Thank you for coming on, brother. Let them know to find you. Let them know to find you before we go.
Y'all can follow me on Instagram at King Baity, KingBaity. Y'all can find me on Twitter at JD Baity. I feel like that spells itself. Yeah, man. Facebook is Josiah Baity or JD Baity. He's the one. You know what I'm saying? Y'all can just find me. More importantly, though, y'all got to follow me on Spotify and Apple Music. That's where Don't pay attention to the fact that these are clip-ons. You know what I mean?
I think that's perfect, brother.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man. Hey, Delvin Cox, man, listen, I appreciate you having me on the podcast, man. It has been a blast. I truly hope that we get to do this again sometime.
We will. Definitely, brother.
I'm gonna be letting people know about the podcast myself. I truly enjoy all your episodes. You know what I'm saying?
Thank you.
Learning about movies, learning about music, learning about whatever, bro. I be listening to your podcast, bro. It's 5 stars out of 5 stars, bro. You the GOAT.
I appreciate that, brother. Like I said, you're welcome back on anytime, bro.
Absolutely, man. Hey, listen, you be easy. All the fans, y'all be easy.
Yeah.
We out.
Definitely. As always, Delvin Cox Experience, we are out. Peace.
Peace.
Teddy Baggy, baby. About to get dick.
What?
Who the hell they think they talking to? Who the hell they think they talking to?
What?
Who the hell they think they talking to? Hold on, let me get a spot with you. Smoking that gas, my life all my dudes.
Yeah.
Make sure it get past all my dudes. Speak on my dudes and they turn to my goons. Yeah. Call on my niggas, they come with them steps and they coming real quick like they fucked a bad bitch. I'ma give them that word and they hitting your man. No more singing your kid in your wake doing splits. We gon' unload that clip and they'll reload that bitch and they'll unload that clip. Yeah, we did it again and that little bitch is mad cause I fucked on her friends. But don't tripping on me, you should be mad at them. No, I'm speaking the facts when I say that I'm killing it. Up in the pussy, no her stomach filling it. Up in the guts and I'm acting real ignorant. Gave her the sip, now she acting belligerent. Gave her the dick, now she can't get enough. I ain't telling her lies, but I know she been loving it. All of my niggas be down with that thuggin' shit. All of the babies know how to get money. Look at my drip, now I know you ain't touching it. Turn up this shit, cause I know that you fuck with it. Give me your bitch, I'll teach her how to suck it. If that's some gas, then I need me a nug of it. Smoking that shit, rolling it up and I'm talking that bitch. Follow the nigga who talking that shit. Yeah, I'll treat him like you, I'm treating spark up a sick. All of my niggas know that we gon' make it with this. Talk on my shit, cause you know that I'm lit. Give me the bag and I'll make it do flips. Give me your bitch and she swallow my kids. Wait, pause. Why this little nigga so hard? Bitch, you know that I go off. Bitch, you know I got the sauce.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Delvin Cox Experience. If you like more content, go on patreon.com/Delvin Cox Experience. There is more exclusive podcasts, including I'm the Podcaster, he's the DJ, that is the hip hop podcast I do with Mr. Tim Hines, as well as the Boondocks, which is a Boondocks review show I do with my son Delvin Jr. With that being said, I want to give a special shout out to Patreon producers, Shirley Walker, Ghost Rider UK, and Mikey Famine. Thank you. God bless.